it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Doug. Here we have the Limo Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu, is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
It's the morning of the most important day of your life. You wake up refreshed and ready for your big day when you look in the mirror and see the zit to end all zits. Stay calm. Mighty Patch Pimple Patches absorb gunk in just 6 hours and shrink the look of blemishes in one use. Leave Mighty Patch on while finalizing florals and you've still got plenty of time for full glam. Shop Mighty Patch at all major retailers.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Listening to this podcast? Smart move. Being financially savvy? Smart move. Another smart move? Having State Farm help you create a competitive price when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling. Just another way to save with a personal price plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. Whew. That one hurt last night. Dodgers 4, Phillies 3. As the Phils go down in game 2, they're down 2-0 in the best of 5, 0-2 in the best of 5. The Los Angeles Dodgers, as the scene shifts to Los Angeles for game number 3 tomorrow night. And, you know, there's a lot of things to unpack from a game that had started with a great pitcher's duel between two outstanding lefties, Blake Snell and Jesus Luzardo, who was so game for his first postseason start as a Philadelphia Philly. But unfortunately, what's so obvious here is the Phillies have become Groundhog Day in the month of October. It is Groundhog Day. They're all the same. All the losses for the Phillies in October are the same. They all follow a pattern. They all have the same characteristics. And you feel sick when the game is over because you and I believe deep down the Phillies know their weaknesses and they keep rolling out the same crap in October. And the better teams, the smarter teams, the more well-rounded teams take advantage of it every single year. Look, the Phillies are good enough to get to October. We know that. It's been that way for 4 years. They're not good enough to win in October, not consistently, not against the other great teams. And depending on the year, that other great team or the other smarter team, that other more fundamental team might show up in the World Series as it did in 2022 with the Houston Astros. This year, it just happens to show up in the divisional round. It doesn't matter, division series. Like, you're going to see that team at some point that's going to exploit the weaknesses we saw last night. Let's roll through the five big problems with the Phillies in October. Always is and continues to be their problems in the month of October. Let's start with number – this is no particular order, just is where it's on the top of my head. Let's start with the defense and that seventh inning. So we can go in chronological order. I know last night they were in a tough spot defensively because the Bader injury. It really wouldn't have changed, I don't think, at that particular time because Castellanos was going to play against the lefty Blake Snell. He was in right field. That double by Freddie Freeman, the second batter of the inning. So Teoscar Hernandez singles off of Luzardo. First time he'd given up a base runner, like 17 consecutive batters. He retired. He was great. I understand why Topper let him start the seventh inning. No problem with it. Teoscar hits the single. I started thinking there, maybe it's time to get him out. But then you remember what he did to Freddie Freeman the at-bat before. He made him look terrible. So, okay, give him one more. Give him Freddie before we go to the bullpen. Okay, fine. Freddie dumps a single, and it should have been a single into right field. Castellanos is so slow at this point and so lead-footed that he plays a single into a double. Freddie Freeman's not a runner. Freddie Freeman can't run. I mean, he's at best an average runner. I would call him a below-average Major League Baseball runner in terms of speed. And he got to second base without question because he knew, and the whole league knows, Castellanos has lead in his cleats at this point. So they play a single into a double, second and third, nobody out, right? And as the inning plays itself out, of course, the bullpen comes in, and then the Trey Turner moment happens. And look, I've been fair. I've given Trey Turner credit this year for improving defensively, but I also said in the month of April, you cannot win a World Series with this guy at shortstop. And you may have said, look, Jolio's a moron. Look, he's better defensively. Look, it wasn't that bad. In the crucible moments, I don't want the ball hit to that guy. I don't want the ball hit to that guy. He is not a fundamentally sound shortstop. He's just not. He's an athlete. That's what he is. He's an athlete. And when he slows down and he's able to concentrate, his athleticism has gotten him by for 10 years in the big leagues. But he's not a fundamentally sound shortstop. And you saw that yesterday as that ball sailed on him. Sailed left and went up the first baseline. That ball, when you slow that down on a replay and you watch that, Teoscar Hernandez is about 40 feet from home plate when Trey Turner gets that ball in his glove. 40 feet. Trey Turner is in the middle of the infield at that point, coming close to the pitcher's mound. I know he has to get the ball. He has to pick it out of his glove, bring it to his hand, transfer and throw. Not a super easy play, but one that has to be made. And the ball has to be either chest high or chest, you know, right in the middle of JT's chest or into the runner, into the baseline where the runner is coming in. So it's a catch and drop tag. Has to be. And it wasn't either of those things. It pulled him off his spot. It was a disastrous throw. And the floodgates were open. And, of course, Will Smith adds to it after that. So the defense consistently fails the Phillies in October. Number two, the Stars. And Trey's part of this. I know he had a walk and he had the hit in the eighth to get in their first run. But he's part of this. Turner, Schwarber, Harper, 2 for 21 with 11 strikeouts and 4 walks. They've been on base 6 times in 25 plate appearances. They have not hit a home run. Harper had a huge chance in the 6th inning with 2 runners on and 1 out. He chased a bunch of Snell sliders. Snell won the battle. The Stars for the Phillies go ice cold at the worst moments. At the crucible moments, they go ice cold. And they've gone ice cold in these two games. And without those three guys hitting, without at least one of them hitting big, it's impossible to beat a machine like the Dodgers. Just like it was impossible to beat a machine. I know Turner was it around in 22, but impossible to beat a machine like the Houston Astros if your bats go that cold. The defense fails them. The Stars fail them. The power also fails them. And I think about the 2023 postseason when I think about this, because when the Phillies seem to hit postseason home runs, they hit them in bunches. They get red hot for the power. And they'll hit 5 in 3 games, or, you know, the Arizona series game 1 and 2, the Atlanta series before that. You go back to what they did against the Padres in the LCS, what they did against the Astros in Game 3 of the World Series. When they hit home runs, they front run, and they just bash the ball over the wall. But then they go so cold that there's none there. I mean, the Phillies haven't hit a home run since Game 2 of the Division Series last year in the postseason, right? So that would be the first 2 games this year and the last 2 games last year. That's 4 straight postseason games, so they haven't hit a home run.
This episode is brought to you by White Claw Surge. Nice choice hitting up this podcast. No surprises. You're all about diving into tastes everyone in the room can enjoy. Just like White Claw Surge. It's for celebrating those moments when connections have been made and the night's just begun. With bold flavors and 8% alcohol by volume, unleash the night. Unleash White Claw Surge. Please drink responsibly. Hard seltzer with flavors. 8% alcohol by volume. White Claw Seltzer Works. Chicago, Illinois.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp. the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
The Phillies are 14-0 in their last 14 postseason games where they hit at least two home runs. That's the front running. When they hit them in bunches. 17-7 since 2022 when they hit even one home run. Just give me one. Give me one home run. Since 2021, when team scoring three runs or fewer are 42-133 in the postseason. Before yesterday, and let me make sure, I think I'm correct on yesterday. I think it was heading into play yesterday in this particular postseason, teams to out-homer the opponent were 9-2 in the postseason. Last night, no home runs in the Phillies-Dodgers game, obviously, so that's a wash. Brewers hit a pair of home runs to the Cubs, one last night. That would be 10-2 now. Teams to out-homer their opponent are 10-2 in the 2025 postseason. The formula is very simple. The home run is like the three-point shot in the NBA. You don't necessarily need to hit 40 of them, but you certainly can't let your opponent hit more than you or a lot more than you in the NBA. Like the Thunder won it without an extreme three-point shooting operation, but they were great defending the three, taking the basketball away, limiting possessions. Okay, we could play that game. That's more of the Brewers kind of play. Or you go back to the Celtics a couple years ago when they won, there was a three-point shooting barrage. It's a math game. And the Phillies consistently lose the math game with their power outage coming up in the postseason the last couple years. All right, number four is the bullpen. This is on Dave Dombrowski, and it's on Rob Thompson. It's a combination of the two of them, how he deploys his bullpen. I have no idea what the hell's going on with the Rangers Suarez situation. He's not even starting game three. Is he more hurt than we think? I don't know. But apparently available the last couple nights and still yet not being part of the mix is a really strange way to go about the bullpen. The Roberts thing game one was egregious, getting him up down after the sixth and the seventh inning. And the bullpen just consistently doesn't do the job. It just doesn't do the job. And the Phillies have a problem where they think, sometimes I think the Phillies, and Dave, this is a Dave Dombrowski thing, thinks it's 2007 again, thinks it's 2003 again, thinks it's 1997 again. You'd need tons of arms, tons. Even if you're going to push your starter deep, you need a lot of options that you trust. And there's just not a lot of options I trust in the Phillies bullpen. This is partly the Painter thing gone bad. I blame Painter for not having a great year. Obviously, it's his performance. Also, the Phillies for being steadfast that he was a starter and not using him in the bullpen. Also, trying to just count on Robertson as your only other bullpen acquisition was a problem. Now, I also think it's fair to point out that Wheeler getting hurt had a cascading effect, right? If Wheeler is not hurt, he's the one. Sanchez started two. Luzardo set up for three. You don't need a fourth starter. So Ranger is clearly a bullpen guy, not just a maybe kind of bullpen guy. He's a bullpen guy. All being said, the bullpen continues to fault them in the big moments in the postseason. And number five is the manager. The manager, Rob Thompson, and I say this, and I say it with sincerity, last night was the worst managerial decision of his career. That was worse to me, all things considered. You know, considering the situation, considering the range of outcomes, considering the thought process behind it, that was worse for me than taking Wheeler out in game six in Houston. That was a backbreaking, it was a soul-crushing decision to have Bryson Stott bunt. He bunted right into their plan. He gave the Dodgers a get-out-of-jail-free card. It was, and I don't say this with any joy in my heart, because I like Rob Thompson. It was the kind of move where I consider removing him from the position as soon as this series is over. It was the kind of move where I consider he's got to go. Because that was cowardly. playing for the tie? How about going for the win and flipping the series? You have the runner on second base anyway. It's no out. You have the Dodgers on the ropes. Vesia is a wild pitcher. He has had in his career, his walk rate is over 4/9. He threw ball one high. Okay, there is a real chance he walks Bryson Stott. It's first and second and nobody out. And you have Harrison Bader coming up. And then you have Kepler. And even if those two guys get out, you have Turner with two guys on. And if just one of those guys reaches, and we know Bader got a hit, and Bader's a good matchup there against Vesia, you could have the bases loaded. Even if Kepler stands up there and strikes out, you have both Turner and Schwarber to try to win the baseball game, with Sasaki coming in cold, having never in his life experienced inherited runners. It was such a cowardly decision by the manager, who consistently twists himself into a pretzel in these big moments. Rob Thompson is a great regular season manager. And I know there are a lot of people on this radio station, on WIP, saying, manager of the year, manager of the year. Did a nice job this season. But when the moment gets big, Rob Thompson shrinks. When the moment gets big, Rob Thompson loses his baseball mind. And he did it last night. That bunt sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It was one of the more cowardly managerial decisions you will ever see in that moment. And then you factor in the variables, which is you have the slowest runner on your team on second base. He can't run. Castellanos has lead in his cleats. He can't run. So if the bunt, it was not even a bad bunt, but if the bunt isn't perfect, if it isn't deadened off the bat, and dies between the catcher and the third baseman. If it doesn't do that, you know Castellanos is dead to rights. And also, he's not even an instinctual base runner. He didn't get a big enough lead off the base. As Jimmy Rollins pointed out on the postgame show, as the wheel play is on, he's got to feel Mookie sprinting towards third, and he's got to take a huge lead because there's nobody going to cover second. He can get back to second if Stott takes the pitch. If it's not bunted, he could walk back to second. There's nobody there. And he didn't do it. You got to know your team. You got to know the situation. You got to know what the other team's thinking. And after I heard in the post game, Dave Roberts said that was the only way we could win the game there was executing the wheel. You played right into it. You gave it to him. Rob Thompson lost me last night. I've defended him. I've liked him. I've been a fan. He lost me for good last night.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was bad. It was really bad. It's Groundhog Day with the Phillies. October. No, Groundhog Day is February. No, not here. Groundhog Day is October for the Philadelphia Phillies because they lose the same way every year. And every year we go in and we pretend it's going to be different. Every year we go in and we hope it's going to be different. And it's not. It's like we're in a dream we can't wake up from in the month of October where the games are exactly the same. The defense, the stars, the power going out, the bullpen, and the manager. They crush them at every single turn. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. It's going to be a day of reaction as we talk about the Phils down 0-2 to the Dodgers in the National League Division Series. Thanks for listening.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.